Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones in today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back your. There's a time that I remember when I did not know no pain, when I believed in forever.
Is your artist of the day? Good afternoon. Now my heart feel like December. Yeah, it's warm out there. You can smell
it's
the rain.
Human.
You can smell the rain coming.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. Story here from the Miami Herald. A bill proposed by Democratic senators on Wednesday would force airlines, to issue billions of dollars in refunds to passengers whose whose flights were canceled due to COVID-19. The Cash Refund for Coronavirus Cancellations Act, the CRCCA, which was introduced by Massachusetts Senators Ed Markey and Elizabeth Warren, would require all U.S. airlines, including third-party ticket sellers, read that, Expedia, etc.,
yeah,
to promptly offer a full cash refund for canceled tickets, regardless of whether the passenger or the airline nixed the trip. So if you just didn't feel comfortable going, they would have to refund your money.
And Scott, I got to be honest, I agree with that, and here's why. I was issued, I think initially, a credit when I canceled my flight to go to the Masters, okay? And I remember thinking at the time, that's all fine and good. Thank you for my $250 credit. When the hell am I going to fly again? At the time, we didn't know. We didn't know if the airlines were going to shut down. We didn't know. And so I thought, well, that's worthless. I would rather just have the money back. I do think if you pay for something like an airline ticket, especially during this time, you should be able to get your money back. Now, I accidentally purchased the insurance. I don't even remember doing it for that flight, you know, for $19 or whatever.
Smart.
So I did get the money back, but I think I just got the money back because I had the insurance.
You don't think you would have gotten it back if you didn't have the insurance?
No, I think they would have issued a credit.
Under the proposed measure, refunds would be retroactive to scheduled flights dating back to March 1st and would remain in effect 180 days after the nationwide public health emergency order has ended. We were supposed to go to Jamaica in June. We were going to celebrate my birthday in Jamaica.
Bought a flight, didn't take the flight.
Did not take the flight, obviously.
I can see both sides, but I do think the money should be refunded.
Well, something's going to have to happen, though. And I'm just a dumb kid with a journalism degree. But these airlines are going to go under. If and I hate the idea of a bailout. But what are you going to do? I mean, we bailed out the auto companies back in 2008.
They would have to bail out the airlines, Scott. We can't not have airlines.
And, you know, I'll be interested to talk to you on Monday when you go down to Arizona, because I think you said you're going to fly down there. You know, how did that work? I mean, everybody presumably is going to have to wear a mask. Was every middle seat empty? And by the way, what about the person in front of you who's literally 2 feet away?
Right.
If that far.
So listen to this. Delta, and this is from the New York Times this week. Delta and the other major airlines in the United States have dramatically slashed schedules. They are averaging an anemic 23 passengers on each domestic flight. 23 is the average, Scott.
Which means you can get one person every two rows.
Yeah, they are losing $350 to $400 million a day.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, why even fly?
This says, devastating as the downturn has been, the future is even more bleak. With much of the world closed for business and no widely available vaccine in sight, it may be months, if not years, before airlines operate as many flights as they did before the crisis.
Yeah. I would actually be shocked if we go, we move the Jamaica trip to next summer, next June. Mm-hmm. I don't want to break my mom's heart, but I'd be shocked if we even make that trip. I would be shocked. With no vaccine, there's no way we're going. There's just no
way. Let's be clear. The airlines had been riding a huge wave of historic profitability up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Southwest Airlines reported its 47th consecutive year of profitability in January.
47th month.
This says 47th consecutive year.
They haven't even been in business for 47 years.
I find it hard to believe the New York Times would get that wrong, but we can look it up.
Okay, we'll check.
It says, we would be naive to believe that we, or anyone for that matter, can accurately predict the course of this crisis or recovery. That coming from United's president and incoming chief executive.
I don't foresee a scenario. And I want to go to Jamaica so bad it hurts. And I know everybody else wants to go. You want to go to Cancun, or you want to go to Florida, or, you know, wherever. I just don't see a scenario where my family is packing up and heading out next June. I mean, short of a vaccine, I'm not putting my mom on a flight.
Okay, but listen to this. Take China, for example. The number of domestic flights there started to recover in mid-February, but plateaued in early March at just over 40% of levels before the outbreak. So in China, it didn't stay down to, you know, an average 20 passengers on each plane. It rebounded, but just over to 40% of the levels that we saw before the outbreak. So would we not expect similar here?
Yeah, you probably could, but back to the original point, though, Dana. Airlines can't survive on 40% occupancy. You're going to have to bail them out. And we've already dropped $3 trillion on floating this economy as best we can. What are we going to have to, and the Democrats in the House yesterday floated another $3 trillion bailout plan, which has not been approved yet, but probably will. That did not include the airlines.
You know, I'm going to look this up during the break, Scott. I'm curious what percentage of air travel is business travel? Here's where they're going to really be hurt. Business travel has grinded basically to a halt.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about, was it Cerner yesterday that said they're not going to have their huge convention?
Yes.
That brought in thousands of people from all over the world. You know, we tend to think of Cerner as a Kansas City thing. This convention was bringing in thousands, tens of thousands from all over the world.
Right.
That's now not happening. So what percentage of airline travel is business travel? And if it's a big percent, that's going to hurt, because I don't think business travel is – I don't know when business travel will reach pre-pandemic level.
Well, but when does leisure travel reach pre-pandemic levels?
I think leisure travel will come back a lot sooner than business travel.
Oh, really?
Will.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Chris just sent me an email today. One of the conferences he attends 3-4 times a year, they have now said, we're going to do Zoom the rest of the year. Until further notice, we're just not doing it. And so that was a trip to LA here and now. It was a trip to New York.
But that was a business trip, right?
That was a business trip. And okay. I think businesses are going to say, we don't really need to have the convention in Tampa this year. So we're not going to do it.
But you think the leisure travel will come back before the business travel?
Yeah, I
do.
People
will just say, I'm done. I'm going to Cancun. I don't care. I don't care. Or I'm going to Miami. I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard for me to disagree with you. 576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright, 576-7798. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ. Are coming at you.
We got It Ain't Me and not I Want to Know, Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
Wow, fail. I will take that critique all the way to the bank.
Sam,
Greatest songs ever recorded.
Sam, I applaud your song choices this afternoon.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Mr. Parks.
Good job. Good job, buddy.
Too. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I looked up the business traveler thing.
Yep.
I think you will be surprised.
Okay.
Airlines receive only about 60% of their revenue from passengers directly. 60%. The other 40% comes from selling frequent flyer miles to credit card companies.
Really?
So, yes.
That's why they're always pushing those goddamn credit cards.
Yeah. Just fill this out. Remember that time I thought 30,000 miles meant 30,000 miles?
Right.
Right. It doesn't. So, I digress. Of that 60%, you know what? It bugs me that they call it 30,000 free miles when it's not 30,000 miles. It's just not. It's like you might be able to get halfway to St. Louis, but then still not.
That's just, it's their terminology for points.
Well, yeah, but they call it miles. Well, and to me, miles, it's like 500 miles to Denver. So they said you get 30,000 miles. And I thought, oh my God, I can go to like France twice.
Wow.
Anyway.
Somebody just digressed.
60% of their revenue comes from passengers directly. The other 40% comes from the whole frequent flyer miles.
Those credit cards are really big for them, aren't they?
Yep.
Huh. No wonder
they're of the 60% of passenger revenue. So you just take the 60% of passenger revenue.
Okay.
Big money comes from business travelers as opposed to those flying for leisure. Business travelers account for just 12% of airline passengers, but they are typically twice as profitable. In fact, on some flights, business passengers represent 75% of the airline's profits.
Is that because they sit first class or?
Yeah, so we were asking the wrong question. In sheer numbers, business travelers are not don't outweigh leisure.
Right.
But in dollars, they do.
Because they sit first class. They order drinks.
Yeah. All that stuff.
Yes, I'll take that full meal deal where I'm in the back going, I'll take a water and some pretzels.
Yeah.
All right. Sam, to the phones if we could, please.
Matt in Riverside.
Hey, Matt. Good afternoon, buddy. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
I miss talking to you guys. Hey, you know, this is going to sound a little simplistic and cynical, but you know, to start off with, I seem to recall sometime in the late 90s, early 2000s, the airlines were bailed out. Correct me if I'm wrong. I just very fading memory about that stuff. Dana, you touched on the big three getting the bailout. Technically, one of the big three didn't get a bailout from the federal government. What they did was they went to the factory workers and they went to the building trades folks like me that did work at the assembly plants for a concessions and pay for a certain amount of time that sunsetted after 2 or 3 years to help them get through that slump. You know, additionally, you know, 2 years ago they had the massive tax cuts for all of these major corporations. Meanwhile, you and me and John Q. Public and Jane Q. Public, Dana, they lost a lot of deductions that they could itemize in their taxes. You know, we're told, hey, put some money away from a rainy day. You need to have X number of dollars in case you lose your job. You need to be self-reliant for 2 months. Yep. Meanwhile, they took these tax cuts, and they didn't put it into some medium that they could save for a rainy day. They bought back shares so that they could have their own ownership of these airlines. So what's going to happen? I understand the bailout is not free money. They'll pay it back with interest, just like two of the big three auto companies did, just like some of the banks did. But,
yeah.
You know, there's got to be something more. We need to say, hey, we're going to do this. You're going to pay us back with interest, and we're going to get a percentage of any and all of your profits for the next how many years? Maybe decades. You know?
Wait. On that point, who's we?
The federal government. If we, the taxpayers, are going to loan this money to these corporations. And granted, yes, if they go under, serious bad news for a lot of people. You know, yeah. Probably hundreds of thousands of people across the country, and probably hundreds of thousands more that we don't think about, the subsidiary industries. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we, the federal government / the taxpayers who are giving them this bailout, let's get a little bit of the slice of the pie. We don't need to nationalize airlines. You know, it was what? 30, 40 years before Amtrak finally turned a profit. We don't need to nationalize anyone, but if we're going to bail you out, we're going to get a little slice of that pie, and, you know, you might still have your tax cut, but we're going to get a little bit of it on the other end, too. Why not something along those lines?
All right, Brett. Hey, glad we got you in. Good call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was thinking it was the airlines that were deemed too big to fail in 2008. It was auto, wasn't it?
It was auto, yes. It was auto.
When he said that, it jogged my memory.
Well, it was also banks. When we were talking about too big to fail, it was the banks originally, and then it was the auto industry that was too big to fail. I believe Ford, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Ford was the only auto company that did not take a bailout. All the other ones did. GM, Chrysler, who am I leaving out? Well, Ford did not take a bailout, as far as I can remember. Chevrolet, sorry.
That's GM.
That's GM, Chrysler,
Fiat, and Ford.
Yeah. So, telephone number here is 576-7798. She's Dana Wright. Sam Stevie III. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
The sky is gray. Can you see the tears roll down the street? The sky is gray. Can you see the tears roll down the street?
That's baby making music right there. That's what that is. Stevie Ray. Story here out of Orlando, Florida. Neighbors can come in handy, whether it's for a cup of sugar or maybe even a life-saving rescue. As one Florida man discovered, Billy Bass said he was enjoying dinner last week when a piece of steak got jammed in his throat. Quoting here from old Billy Bass, it was in a crock pot all day, so it was tender. Bass said he shot out of his front door looking for help when he started choking. Quote, I was going to die. I could not breathe. I had no breath. I couldn't speak. Bass ran across the street to neighbors that he said are like family to him. Karen Aranda said she knew her neighbor of 13 years was in trouble when she opened up the door. He's always laughing. But when I saw that look in his eyes, I knew something was wrong. The dramatic scene that followed played out on Aranda's surveillance camera. The video shows Bass signaling that he's choking, Aranda spinning him around, then squeezing so hard that the piece of steak just shoots right out of his mouth.
You choking?
That's how quick it took?
Wait, was the shooting sound.
Play that again.
Gross!
You choking?
goes. Perfectly good steak right out of his mouth. Not going to get a refund for that.
And then they hugged each other and, you know, everyone's fine. But what? I'm glad he's okay. But a couple of things made me laugh about this story. If
made
one
you
of
laugh?
Your neighbors, yes, because I thought of you. If one of your neighbors, Scott Parks, went boom, boom, boom on your door and they are choking to death.
They're dead.
You would hit the deck and hide because you would think they were trying to kill you. And I'm the one with anxiety. And they would choke to death on your front porch.
Probably. I go full G.I. Joe when somebody knocks on my door.
And second, like, I've got to hand it to him for thinking outside of the box because he was by himself. Instead of trying to fling himself over a chair, which Will Starrett's done, he ran across the street, banged for help because he knew he needed someone to help him. But, like, how did he know she would even know the Heimlich?
Well, she said, or he said that they were best friends. They were like family. And so that's why he went to that specific neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even if you're friends, would you really know that someone knew what they were doing in that regard? Like, I'm trying to think, if I was truly in trouble and I was by myself, where would I go? So the house across the street's vacant. He passed away. God bless his soul. And my neighbors on this side are working, and that side they might be home. I think my friend Jeff would be my closest bet, but I don't know if they're home. I would probably run out into the street and flag someone down and in the street.
Like, you're not friends
to figure it out.
For me, if I'm choking, I'm dead. There's no way in hell Jeremy's going to try to save my life. I don't think he likes me.
You would have to run into the street, Scott.
Yeah.
And do this, like, you know, maneuver. Like, I'm choking.
Yeah.
I live in an apartment. I would just be banging on people's doors and nobody would answer.
I think I would bang on Jeremy's door and he would answer and go...
You just close the door slowly.
You're dying. I'd be like, oh, God, dang it. Picked the wrong house.
I don't know. I don't know. Do most people have a neighbor that they are close enough to that that's the first place you would run?
I'm not.
I just think my odds would be better in the street because we've got a relatively busy street, and sooner or later somebody's going to drive by.
Sooner or later, you're going to be dead.
I was going to say, yeah, then you're going to be dead in the street instead of inside your house.
Well, but if I was laying in the street, at least somebody would be like, there's a lady laying in the street. And
honey, swerve. You're about to hit a person.
She's a little blue.
God.
I, honest to God, and I love my neighborhood, but, and maybe this is an indictment on me. But I'm really not that close with any of my neighbors. I don't know them very well. I don't think Jeremy likes me. And quite frankly, I don't like his dog. And Sue lives next door, but she's never home. And then Mike and Nancy live across the street, but they're hermits. I mean, who am I going to run to?
But even if they're hermits, that wouldn't mean they wouldn't try to save your life.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think Jeremy would save my life. I don't think he likes me very much.
I think we've looked this up before. I feel like steak is the number one thing people choke on.
I thought it was hot dogs.
Hot dogs are up there. I can't believe... I'm watching it now. I'm sorry. I can't stop watching it. How quickly... And he's pointing at his throat. And it just... Fling! Out it comes. And he's not a small guy, Scott.
He's a big one?
Well, he's just not a small guy, and she's a normal-sized woman, and...
You gotta get that steak out. I mean... Oh, my God, this Zoom just eats my phone to pieces.
You keep disappearing.
I know, it's because Zoom literally eats your phone alive. I started with 78%. I'm now down to 19%. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, a four-hour video chat generally does take some battery. My personal experience.
I'm going to drive to the radio station. I am going to fight you.
I wonder if anyone's been saved on Zoom, Scott. Because, like, you're having, like, a conference. I can see you. You can see Sam.
Right.
We're all here. And
somebody
then someone
has a heart attack,
like,
or something.
Yeah, or someone just, like, tips over. And you're like, hello? Hello? Hello?
Where did Bill go? Oh, he's on his floor because he's having a heart attack or a stroke. Have you ever saved somebody's life?
Well, I've whacked my kids on the back. I think all of them choked.
What?
It's the scariest thing ever.
Every one of your kids has choked?
As toddlers? Oh, God. Prunes, broccoli.
Who feeds their kids a prune?
I don't know. She was stopped up.
You give them prune juice. You don't give them
prunes. Have you saved someone?
My childhood best friend, one time we were crossing Emmanuel Cleaver 2 Boulevard. He lived right across from the Nelson there. And it was dead stop traffic, except for the far right lane was moving at full speed. And I just so happened to notice an ambulance out of the corner of my eye coming down that road very quickly. And he was about to step out into that lane. And I almost choked him pulling on his shirt so hard. But I definitely saved his life. And that would have been a very ironic way to go, getting hit by an ambulance.
Dana, have you ever saved somebody's life?
I don't think so. My mom has. My mom's Heimlich'd like 4 people.
Seriously?
She was like Heimlich Superman there for a few years. I'm like, again? Really? What is it with you and people choking?
Wow. I've never saved anybody's life. Not one time.
Well, I think if you were in a position to, you would.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying I've never been in a position, A, to save somebody's life, and B, since I haven't been, I never have. I've never saved somebody's life.
After I had CPR training, like, I walked around for weeks just waiting for someone to drop in front of me, and no one did. I'm like, I'm ready to save somebody.
Were you, like, disappointed that nobody had a heart attack in front of you?
No, God, no, not at all. But, like, when it's on the mind and you've been practicing and you're thinking about
it.
Yeah,
and you're like, come on, let's have a heart attack already.
No. No,
come on.
It just makes you think about it, you know.
More. Somebody eat some butter. I mean, Jesus.
You start jump scaring old people.
No.
Boo! I just freaked the dog out. You, like, run up behind old people and, like, scare them, just hoping they have a heart attack so you can give them the CPR? Did you do that or not?
No.
Okay. Tell me your life-saving story. 576-7798. Because I'm sure many of you have saved a life. 576-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Like all the doctors listening?
No. All right. Wait. Thank you for the clarification.
Well, then there was Monday, and then Tuesday. And Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. And then COVID came in.
This morning.
Okay, actually, 4 times on Thursday.
No, all right. You have to be a civilian. You can't be a doctor or a nurse or a paramedic. You guys are not that we're taking anything away from all the great things you guys have done. It has to be a civilian.
Because how many times have we heard there's a nurse in traffic and someone has a heart attack and the nurse jumps out or there's a car wreck and renders aid?
So nurses, doctors, paramedics, EMTs, you guys are fantastic human beings. You are heroes right now.
But you don't count.
But right now you don't count. That's right. 576-7798.
Past his defense without granting innocence. Lay down a list of what is wrong.
Alright, those of you on hold, Sam says you guys are kind of hard to hear. We're gonna get to you here in just a second. But if it's too hard to hear, we're just going to have to abort the mission.
Like there's something wrong with our phone system or something?
No, I think they've got too much wind in the background.
Oh, got it.
So anyway, I've been a Red Cross CPR and first responder certified 10 years. have never actually used any of it.
From the text line, Scott, your public comments on your fight with alcoholism have saved many lives. That's a fact.
Well, I hope that's true. I am an alcoholic. Sam, let's go to the phones, please.
Shell in Odessa.
Hi, Shell.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. Good. Thank you for asking.
So I told myself, Dana, when you patient and you went around just waiting for someone, as I got my certification and did pretty much the same thing. And then we were celebrating my middle son's first pizza. The lady had a seizure right there in the restaurant. And I was start CPR until a doctor came over to help.
And do you know how she ended up? I would always be super curious. Like, was everything okay?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, we called the ambulance, and like I said, the doctor took over. So when he took over, I just kind of faded to the background because, as you both know, you don't want too many hands in the kitchen.
Yeah.
The ambulance came, but I don't know what happened after that. But it's kind of a surreal feeling, you know?
Did you, like, have any, like, I don't want to use the word PTSD by any means, but were you freaked out after that for a while?
I don't know. Like, my dad's a nurse, so we always grew up, I don't know, like, on the outlook for, like, okay, someone needs our help. This is what we do.
Yeah.
So, and he's also, my dad was very good about teaching us to stay calm and collected, and as a nurse, not that you don't care about your patients, but you kind of have to compartmentalize things. And I guess I kind of did that with that situation.
Sure.
I mean, that was my son just turned 7 in January, so 6 years ago. And I mean, I still wonder, like, is she okay? And
sure,
whatever happened. But I wouldn't say I had PTSD.
You never got the name of the person that you saved?
I did not. She had a seizure, and she was not alert during. And like I said, I had my oldest, who was 3, and then my youngest. And try and keep them calm after they saw it. I mean, they were definitely traumatized for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and I would bet you that's the case with most people who step in to help somebody. 99% of the time, you're not going to know the outcome, Scott. Because the person who's incapacitated is not going to strike up a conversation with you and be like, hey, my name's Mary. I grew up in Leavenworth. As she's seizing. And then once they're in the hospital, that's protected information. You can't just ring up the hospital and be like, how's that lady I Heimlicked earlier? They're not going to tell you.
It was in Lee Summit, so who knows which hospital she went to?
Oh, yeah. And even if you did, they're not going to tell you.
Right.
Right.
All right. Caller, thank you. Sam,
thank
I think.
You.
All right, you be well. I think we have one more, Sam.
Jack in Iowa.
Jack calling in from Iowa. Hello, Jack.
Hello there, Scott and Dana. How are you doing?
Hi.
This afternoon?
We're doing better than we deserve. Thank you for asking.
10-4, love the show. Truck driver up here. I live down in Kansas City, but freight's got to move. Story I got for you is back when about 10 years ago, I was 17 or so, and lived up in Iowa, and my dad lived just on the other side of a big gravel hill, and these two teenagers came flying over the hill, and they'd both been drinking and everything like that, and they rolled the car in the ditch and ended up on their top in my dad's front yard.
Mm.
The guy got out no problem. He was trying to dodge the scene because I guess he'd already had a few run-ins with the law, and the girl was unconscious with her head pinned up against the ceiling. My dad and I are out there with all our power tools sitting there busting the door open and trying to get her out. When she finally came conscious, she realized she was in a bad way, and she started freaking out. So we're sitting there trying to calm her down, and we got her out before the ambulance got there. The ambulance got her on a board, and About 2 weeks later, we got a knock at the door from her mother and her telling us thank you for saving her life, essentially, that she didn't sit there and freak out and break her neck or something.
Wow.
So you saved a life, brother.
10-4.
Good for you.
Be good.
That's the one thing, Scott. I would be terrified to be the one coming up on a horrible wreck. That's the one thing that I just, I mean, of course I would, but it's the one that, man, hoy.
Yeah, that would be tough. We got to run. Don't forget, tomorrow is Festivus Friday. And for those minority of you who are saying that we should rework the intro to Festivus Friday, we will not.
Ooh.
We will honor Jerry Stiller tomorrow because he's awesome. We will not be reworking the intro to Festivus Friday, ever. Festivus Friday tomorrow will be brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Look forward to your grievances. We will grieve. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks. God willing, we will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. Be good. And we will see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.